Text 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Shipan Dhanusi Sanditam Utsasarja Vam Sah Vajram Eva Tad Vridayam Vibheda Soshrig Vaman Dasa Mukher Nyapatad Vimanad Dahiti Jalpati Jane Sukritiva Riktaha Evam Shippam Danushi Sanditam Utsarsha Varnam Sarvarja Mivatad Diktayam Vibedham So Shrik Vamandasya Mukhe Nyapatad Vimanad Taheti Jalpati Jane Sukiti Varikta Evam Shipam Danushi Sandita Mutsarja Vanam Sarvajram Ivatadrittayam Vibedha So Srikvamandasya Mukhe Nyapadad Vimanad Taheti Jalpati Jane Sukriti Varikta Evam Shipam Danusi Sanditam Utsarja Vanam Sarvarja Mivata Dvitayam Vibeda So Srik Vamandasya Mukhe Nepatad Vimanad Taheti Jalpati Jani Sukriti Varikta Evam Shipam Danusi Sanditanam Utsasarja Anam Savarja Nivatatitayam Padedha So Srikvamanda Shamukherne Yapatat Vimana Dahiti Chalpati Jane Sukhi Varikta Evam Shripam Danushi Sandhiti Dautsa Sarja Vanam Savarja Ivatati Hayam Vipedha So Sri Vamanda Shamukhenya Pratadigana
sukhiti varikta.
Mataji?
Evam sipam danusi sandhitam pusat sarja. Manam savajram ivatad yudayam bibhedha. So shrikvamanda shamukhe nyatatat vivanam. Vaheti chalpati jane sukhdi varikta.
Evam, in this way, Kshipam, chastising Ravana, Danusi, on the bow, sandhitam, fixed an arrow, Utsasarja, released towards him, Banam, the arrow, saha, that arrow, vajram eva, like a thunderbolt, tat hridayam, the heart of Ravana, bibheda, pierced, saha, he, Ravana, asrik, blood, vaman, vomiting, dasamukhae, through the 10 mouths, nyapatat, fell down, vimanat, from his airplane, haha, alas, what happened, iti, thus, chalpati, roaring, jane, when all the people present there, sukrit eva, like a pious man, riktaha, when the results of his pious activities are finished. Translation, after thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened? As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Please repeat. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened? As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. In Bhagavad Gita 9:21, it is said, Shini puni matalo kambishanti. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to earth. The fruitive activities of this material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions. For neither pious nor impious actions can deliver one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth and death. Somehow or other, Ravana was raised to an exalted position as a king of a great kingdom with all material opulences. But because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable. Bereft of the results of pious activities, one must fall down like Ravana and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the pure state of freedom from all designations. Savopadhi vimuktanam tat pratvena nirmalam. When one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform there are higher and lower positions, but when is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Sagunam samititayitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Ravana, or those like him, may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position, because after all they are bound by the results of their karma. Kamana daivi netrena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sabasa hankara vidhatma katamiti manyate. Translation: the bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita 3:27. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravana, thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws. End of purport. Oh my God. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Uttade Simati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Ne Vishesha Shandavari Pasarizatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today is the auspicious day of Ram's victory over Ravana. Ram Vijay Dasami. Because Krishna is our Ista Deva, so we don't worship so much. We used to have a killing of Ravana here with a straw effigy of Ravan and shoot him with fiery arrows, and he would burn and explode. It was a little passionate. I think somehow it was stopped because it was a little rajistic activity. But anyway, other places they observe this festival in a great way. But he's asked to speak on this particular one. Although this is this description in the ninth canto is a very brief description of the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, a couple of chapters, because as said by the speaker, Ramchandra's pastimes are very well known, so he wasn't going to elaborate on the Srimad Bhagavatam, because we have Ramayana, which is also as good as the Veda. Anyway, this Prabhupada is mentioning this purport because Ravana represents the evil or disobedience to the Lord, and Ram represents the ideal person, perfect man. Says if you want to follow in the footsteps of God, you can follow Ramchandra, because he behaved perfect in every way. He was the ideal religious person who followed all the rules of Dharma very well. And you will find also in the different parts of India where Ram worship is very popular, especially in North India. Those devotees of Ram are very pious, moral people, the devotees. Of course, not everyone's like that. But those followers, they try to emulate the teachings of Lord Ram by being very ideal in every way. There was even a movement, to political movement, to re-establish Ram Raj in India, how Lord Ramchandra ruled. And the devotees of Ram, even in the spiritual world, even in Ayodhya, in the spiritual world, they will all be very modest, unassuming, humble servants of Ram, not wanting to accept any respect from anyone else. Very dutifully serving Lord Ram with great love. And here we see the conclusion of the episode of Lord Ramchandra's being exiled for 14 years due to the desire of Bharat's mother, who had a boon from her husband Dasarath, and she was saving that boon, and then she was convinced somehow or other that her son should be on the throne, so she asked that Ram go to the forest for 14 years. So it's all about truthfulness and duty and obligation, so the king was obliged to do that. And when he told Ram, Ram immediately accepted without any despondence that he was about to be coronated as a king. Without any hesitation, gladly accepted, rather than his father should have to go back on his word, and left for the forest. And Lakshman went with him, his younger brother, and Sita Devi went, although they didn't want her to go. It says in the scripture, the woman wife should not travel with the husband. But anyway, he let her go, and that was the cause of the big war, of course, is all Leela, because the Lord has come to annihilate the miscreants, to kill the Rakshasas and demons. So then Ravan kidnapped Sita, and Ram was feeling great distress. Of course, it's not the distress like we feel. This is a spiritual vipralamba. It's actually the another aspect, extreme aspect of ecstasy. One is sambhog, union, and one is vipralamba. And they're both there. They both complement each other. But the extreme ecstasy of vipralamba is very intense. It's not spoken about very much because it may deter some people from pursuing the highest goals of love of God. Therefore, it's not spoken about very much because the external symptoms of vipralamba in an advanced stage are suffering. It appears that the person is actually the external. So then people who are attached materially, they may shy away from this, going too far in the aspect of actually surrendering to God. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned here some philosophical points that in the slogan it says he fell from his chariot just like the demigods fall from heaven after the result of their pious activities is exhausted. There's no notice. The garden, the Vaijanti Mala, which is always fresh, it starts to fade. It never faded before. When they see that, oh, it's fading, that's it, they're gone. They fall back down to earth. And so Srila Prabhupada is saying piety or impiety, nothing solves a problem. They both bring you back into this material world. So one should take to the devotional service of the Lord, take shelter in the spiritual dimension, which is realized and practiced by the process of devotion and service, bhakti. Probably mention how, although somehow or other Ravana, he must have performed pious activities, if it's not Leela, to be able to be put into such a position of control and enjoyment as Lankeshwar. But because of his sinful act of kidnapping Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. So one here, it is mentioned that one should be very careful about offending exalted persons, especially the Supreme Lord. And otherwise you lose all of your results of your pious activities, which are normally the results of your pious activities are exhausted by heavenly enjoyments in higher planets. But if you insult or offend a great personality, you'll just lose those pious activities automatically. And we've seen in recent times, in Mahaprabhu's times. There was a few instances there. Ramchandra Khan, who tried to make Haridas Thakur fall down, And it says as a result of that, that as a sinful seed entered into his heart. So then, if you offend someone, then Krishna won't forgive. If you offend a great devotee, then later on, that Lord Nityananda came to that village, and he was Ramchandra. Khan was a big man there. He was a tax collector, and so he had a big durga mandap. So Nityananda was there with his followers, and then when he heard, because he was envious of the Vaishnavas, he sent a message that this place is not good enough for you. You are such an exalted person. Why don't you go to some Goshala? They have a nice big place there. We have limited space here. But and this way he insulted him. Nityananda being very angry, he said, "Yes, this place is only fit for meat eating sinful people." So he left. In fact, he left the village. So the warning is that even if you're within that place becomes affected. So even if you're living in the vicinity of an offensive person, they also suffer, even though they're not. Such is the greatness of the offense to the exalted person, and the more exalted the person, then the greater the reaction. So even innocent people were actually affected by that eventually, who were living in that place. And at that time, because he was a tax collector, he was cheating. He wasn't paying all of the taxes. So then the government, the Mohammedan government at that time, so they came and they were very angry with him, and they beat him, chastised him, and they stayed in the, they camped in the Durga Mandap, and they cooked a cow there, killed a cow and cooked it and ate it. For 3 days they were there, and they were plundering the village and disturbing everyone. And I think he lost his caste also, his Ramchandra Khan, as a result of that. So all his opulence was gone, his caste was gone, and his everything was finished. And the other one was Gopal Chapel. There was one who offended Shivas Thakur, who got leprosy, and one who offended Haridas Thakur, who he became offensive that Haridas Thakur says the result of chanting the names of God is that it awakens pure love. That's the real result is pure love of God, and even chanting once purely, one attains liberation. So he couldn't hear that. He couldn't bear to hear that, and it became very offensive. And he said now it said at the end of Kali Yuga a Suja will come and preach the Vedas. It said in the scripture, but I see even before the end of Kali Yuga it's already happening. This person is saying, even you know, the scriptures are talking about how difficult it is to attain moksha, liberation, by great austerity practice, and he's saying simply by chanting the name without offense one time. If this is not true, I will cut off his nose. And all the other people, they were furious, but he already spoken. Mazunda, this Aranya, and his brother, they were furious because they were devotees of the Lord. And they chastised him like anything, sent him and dismissed him because he was their servant. They were big Zamadars, Mazunda brothers. And so he lost his job. He lost his service, and they fell at Haridas's feet and begged forgiveness that he's a foolish person. Haridas doesn't mind, he left. But then shortly afterwards he got leprosy. And only it's because he was from a high caste Brahmin family, and all his nice features were destroyed, his nice fingers like champa flowers. they all started to rot away and his nose fell off with leprosy. Because of the offense of the pure devotee of the Lord, or the Lord himself. So this is the position of the those that become inimical towards the Lord. And Prabhupada saying that you may become very powerful and opulent materially, but it's not a secure position, because it's actually karma that you get these things. You get these facilities through karma. So it's not secure. They will all be taken away again, and you don't know what's going to happen. But Prabhupada says we shouldn't forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature, as we heard in Maharaj's class yesterday. We are completely under the control of the material energy. We have no control whatsoever over the material energy. It is governed by the Lord. As Krishna says here, this prakriti, it's devyeshi gunamani, it's working under my direction. It's Krishna's energy, it is his energy, but we think that we can interact and enjoy it and control it. Bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. So the living entity is desiring to perform some activity in accordance to karma, according to what we deserve, then the material energy will arrange a situation where we can experience the results of our pious and impious activities. We don't have any control over that, the environment. That's done by the material nature. Very good. Or the 33 crores of devatas. But it works so smoothly and so finely and so quick that we think that we're performing the activities, but in actual fact, we're not. So, if we understand this, our sambandha gyan, our relationship with the material world, then we automatically should become humble and give up pride, because we realize that we're playthings in the hands of material nature, as long as we're looking for a view to find a comfortable situation and enjoy it. We've just been tossed around in different in variety of different bodies, in a variety of different places within the 14 planetary systems. Really, you don't have much help. We're completely ignorant of what is actually going on in the higher sense, how it's all been manipulated by others. Still, we're working hard to pursue some refuge, some peace, and some happiness. So there is no refuge, there is no shelter in the material world, because we're nothing to do with the material world. The jiva is nothing to do with the material world. Is placed in here and experiencing happiness and distress in various types of bodies, one after the other. That's what's going on. But if one doesn't know what's happening, then you're bound to follow your heart and your mind and try to make arrangements for a better situation that you can be happy. So this is called samsara, maya. So this sambandha gyan is very essential, that we should understand our position within the material world and what is the material world. Our relationship with it is illusion, maya. We don't have any relationship with the material energy. It's acting to delude us. Yeah? We're different from that material energy. But we're projecting our consciousness onto the material energy because our real identity has been covered by another energy of Krishna's, avidya. So this is all we can see, is the separated illusory energy And we're thinking we're part of this energy, and therefore we make our programs to be comfortable and well situated in it. But it doesn't work. This is called Maya, that which is not. So this is, knowledge is essential for spiritual practice, although it's an understanding of the material energy. At least the principles of material energy, otherwise one won't be able to come detached from it. And if you can't come detached from it, then how will you get talk about higher spiritual states like prema? Unless you're completely done with the material world, you won't be able to achieve these states. So one should understand perfectly well what is our situation. Then automatically one becomes humble, should become humble, realizing our very, very insignificant position, very scary, fragile position. So it's not an easy thing to give up this false ego. It says one can give up the terrible false ego by hearing about this Vipralamba of the gopis had for Krishna when Krishna called them, and they were refused. Some of them were forcibly stopped from going by their relatives. Then they felt such intense pain that they burned up all the results of their impious activities. And that it says that that pain of separation from Krishna was so intense that it can destroy the terrible false ego. And even hearing of their plight can destroy the terrible false ego. Krishna Prabhu. So Ravana represents the big false ego, a successful man, right? The controller and the enjoyer. He was really doing well. And his only problem was that he was envious, inimical towards the Lord and the Lord's property. He wanted to enjoy it for himself, which is a disease that we all suffering from, right? Any given time of the day, we're always looking around to adjust for the material energy, how we can improve our situation, how we can enjoy the situation, isn't it? Any time of the day, we're doing things like that. Even adjusting our sitting here, people are moving like that because it's one position is uncomfortable, so you have to move after 10 minutes or so. So constantly you're trying to get into a more comfortable situation because the material energy is uncomfortable for the spirit soul. And then from there it goes out, how you can extend. Therefore we work hard. We have to work really hard at it, and therefore you have all these polished civilizations in the mode of passion to fulfill those needs, that we can resolve all the problems and you can be very happy with sense gratification. Now, this is the goal of the material world. Everyone in Kali Yuga, this is what the leaders want. This is what the leaders of every nation are leading us towards. This is their goals. So then we will naturally imbibe that same idea. So this transcendental knowledge is very essential. So here we see here we're reading about success, material successful people. Hiranyakashipu, the most successful materialist. Ravan, highly successful, city made of gold. King of the Rakshasas, enjoying by the. Why, if he hadn't picked on Sita, if he hadn't been infatuated by the beauty of Sita, then he could have lived very nicely. If he was friendly towards Ramchandra, he could have enjoyed unlimitedly, right, for a long, long time. But the problem was he chose to go against the Lord, to try to compete with Krishna, because it's actually his energy, it's working under his direction. But when we become, envy means I want to do it my way. I don't care for the way that the Lord gives us. It means I don't care for the process of devotional service or the revealed scriptures. I'll do it my way. This means envious of the Lord. And that's how it's translated. You don't want to follow. Why? You got a better idea. You want to do it. I don't like it. I want to do it like this. So, and then if that's a decision, then it's you and the material energy. It's you and Durga. Now who's going to win? If you pitch a battle with Durga, who will win? She's the supreme superintendent in the material world. But that's what you're doing. When you leave the safety of the devotional service of the Lord, which is actually transcendental. So whether you move into piety or impiety, it's the same thing. Piety is recommended. It's probably easier to get out of. But it's the same, they will both bring you back into the material world. But Ravan was adamant. His false ego was so strong that, no, I will keep this girl. And he was advised to give her back, Vibhushana, to Sita. She's the husband of Lord Ram. He's the Supreme Lord. Even he went to, I think it was Bali, Raj, for his help. Bali said, he said, I can help you. He said, give Sita back. He said, that's not what I want to hear. I want some help. I want to keep her. He said, then I can't help you. That's the best advice I can give you. Give Sita back. This is Lord Ramchandra. He said, but if you want, I can give you some monetary help, some finance. And he took him to this huge golden ornament, like a mountain, made of gold, solid gold with so many beautiful stones. He said, wow, it's huge. Ravana said, he said, take it. You can take this. If you can lift it up, you can take it. He said, I can lift mountains. I've done it before. But he couldn't budge that mountain. It's so heavy. So he says, well, I know it is. What is this? he said, you know what this is? This is the earring of Varahadev. It fell down when he was fighting with Hiranyaksha. He said, this is his earring. He said, and this Ramchandra, he's not different from Varahadev. He's the same person. You still want to fight with him? Go ahead. But don't. Just give Sita back, and you can live nicely. He'll be nice. You surrender to him, he'll give you all facility. But still he couldn't do it. So then a great war came, and he called in all the big demons, because all the big demons that were supposed to be killed by Lord Ram, Kumbhakarna and all those others. It's a big, you know the story well. And all the monkeys came with, and they only had rocks and sticks or trees if they were strong. And Ravana had all the latest military warfare. He was a Rakshasa, high person. They were animals. But still, because Ram was with them, and they were fighting for Ram, then they could easily defeat the great army of and the great army of demons. So this is the this emphasizes the battle between the good and the evil, although it's a real story. Some people say it's mythology just to emphasize how good always comes over evil, eventually the truth always prevails. They see it as mythological stories, but actually everything is real. All the characters are actually real, and it really happens. But this is the whole purpose of the Lord's pastimes. Are really to wake the conditioned human beings up from their ignorance, and give them an opportunity to become released from this madness of trying to manipulate the material life, trying to manipulate the material world for their own satisfaction and happiness. And therefore he stages these really dramatic shows, because we're not very smart when we can't just hear the Vedanta Sutra and it just, oh yeah, that's it, switch off the material world, surrender to Krishna. Doesn't work like that, especially in Kali Yuga. So therefore he has to arrange it in ways that are palatable for us to appreciate it in. You know, we like these exciting stories, right? And we like, you know, these battles, and we like romance and love and politics, and these are the things that, you know, get our germinal going. So generally these pastimes include all these things, and they attract us. So these Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, they're written for the people of Kali Yuga specifically, because everyone in Kali Yuga is born Sudra. We don't have that intellectual capacity to understand the import of the scripture properly. So therefore the import is given in story form through the Puranas and Mahabharata, etc. And it says the Sudras and everyone less, they're not allowed to study the Vedas. So how will they understand? Everyone is born Sudra. So therefore the Puranas, you can access the essence of the Vedas, but in a very palatable way, in a story form that will keep us interested. because these scriptures like Ramayana, Mahabharata, for the most part of it, well, a big part of it, of course they're emphasizing duty, and the Srimad Bhagavatam especially, They're pastimes of the Lord directly. So here you see that they're direct, the Lord's pastimes directly, not indirect like the demigods, and the Lord is speaking directly. So they're actually very essential aspects of the Vedic literature, because the Lord is not so much watering down, and you can see the Lord actually in person, face to face, and how he's dealing in all of these circumstances. So especially Lord Ram, because he's acting as a perfect person, and so that's the main purpose of the incarnations. He can fight here also in the material world. So therefore the big fights, Star Wars, are arranged so that he can come here and fight. But the main purpose is to protect his devotees, to annihilate the miscreants and protect my devotees. I appear millennium after millennium, but the main purpose is to protect his devotees. And the main purpose in that is to protect the devotees, the pure devotees, their ardent hankering for the Lord, and that their feeling of separation from him. So he comes to protect them from their feeling of distress in separation of him. And therefore he performs all these amazing pastimes. So here, Ramchandra is the incarnation of the perfect person. जय भगवान श्री रामचंद्र की, श्री गोपाल की जय, जय गोपाल नंदी, हरि हरि हरि. Comments, question?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. You mentioned that we should be humble. Even Lord Ram, he's so humble in his pastimes. And I know that I'm just insignificant soul, servant of the servant. I know that, but many times while doing some service, pride appears, pride and fears to others, and expect respect from other people. What's wrong with me? Thank you.
What was the last sentence?
What's wrong with my mentality?
What's wrong with your mentality?
Yes, thank you, Prabhu.
It's a birth defect. Means everyone in the material world has the same problem. We're born here because of we're envious of Krishna. If he wasn't, you wouldn't have taken birth again. Right? So this is the envy of Krishna, which results in lust, greed, anger, and all the rest. Stemming from that. Yeah. You're envious of Krishna, you've cut Krishna out, you want to take his place, but things aren't going as you want them to go. Things don't work as you plan. So then you get disappointed, frustrated, and angry, and envious. So that is the ground zero, the base of our being in Maya. That's how we are. That's how we are. It's not that I'm performing devotional service sometimes, the mind is, no. we're like that. That is our main consciousness. I am this body, I am the controller, and I enjoy it. This is our main consciousness. Right? It comes back to that. Now we're trying to get out of that consciousness into real consciousness or Krishna consciousness. But this is where we keep coming back to this situation, because we're born into this situation. You really believe we're these bodies. I really believe that by my activities I can control the environment somewhat. Therefore I won't give up the idea that I am the controller, and then I get some enjoyment. So this is the very base mentality, consciousness of us. I forgot an example. Prabhupada says, I feel like I'm in Maya today, and he said, what was the example? Anyone? Someone said, Prabhupada, I'm in Maya today, and he said, huh? You're always in Maya. Oh, you think there wasn't, you know, sometimes you're not in Maya. So it's sometimes we're not in Maya. It's not that sometimes you fall into Maya, it's sometimes we're not in Maya. By our endeavor to, then the endeavor becomes real when you try to take shelter of devotional service. Devotional service is Krishna's grace. So you place yourself in Krishna's grace by Shravanam, Kirtan, Smaranam, something like that. Some or other. You place yourself in that. And then you're under his protection. According to the degree of actual surrender to that degree you feel his protection. But even unknowingly, even you don't know what's going on, you take the medicine and it works. So you're still liberated even though you don't understand it if you're sincere. You're protected from material. But it's an endeavor to do that. It's an endeavor to stay in Krishna consciousness. Because our normal condition is the senses are going here, there, and wow, we're here, wow, nice. Right? That's our normal way of materialistic life. So it's an endeavor to try to be indifferent to the material energy in its diverse ways, its fearful ways and its attractive ways. It's not easy to be indifferent, because normally we've been answering that call. When the fearful face is showed, then we try to protect ourselves. And when the attractive face is shown, then we try to take it, enjoy it. That is the normal conditional life. And we're addicted to that. We're conditioned. Conditioned means addicted. We're conditioned into that. That's a normal reflex, is that? When you see something nice, wow, isn't it? When you see something nice, you go there. Senses want to go there automatically. When you see something fearful, you think, how am I going to get away? It's a natural response. Conditioned. We can't be indifferent. Even if we know it's just an illusion and we're different from it, we're nothing to do with us, with spirit, that's matter. Even though you have that knowledge, until there's realization there, you can't just be indifferent to it. Right? So this is our so we're struggling to stay indifferent from it. That's called Vaidisadana Bhakti. Struggle to be, another religious practice, karma jnana or yoga or shankha, you're struggling to be indifferent. Well, devotee is actually struggling to be indifferent. The jnanis and the yogis, they're struggling to overcome it. Karma is endeavoring to enjoy it, but the devotee is actually endeavoring to be indifferent from it. And you can only be indifferent from it when you have something superior. You have a superior shelter or a superior happiness. So it's only by devotion you can actually be safe. Because if there's no shelter, for want of shelter, proper shelter for your senses, then it's just pratidhara. You're just trying to stay aloof, stay aloof, stay aloof. But material energy is eternal. That the attraction and repulsion are eternal. They're coming all the time. At every moment, there's something coming. Adhyatmik, adhidevik, adhibhautik. At every moment. So then your life just becomes a struggle to try to maintain equilibrium, because there's no shelter. So that's the fault with jnana and yoga in Kali Yuga. So the whole endeavor is just to try to stay, you know, trying to stay in one piece, that's all. There's not much fun, not much life. But if you surrender to Krishna, don't bother with it. You don't worry about that. You become indifferent to it. That's the position of the devotee. He doesn't try to enjoy it, he doesn't try to become free from it. That's the position of the devotee. But that takes integrity, intelligence, and endeavor. And ultimately the mercy of the Lord, because until you actually get that higher taste, then how can you be indifferent? We're seeking pleasure, material energy is presenting pleasure, how can you be indifferent? How can you ignore it? It's in your heart. It's what your existence is for. Experience, and you want to experience something nice. So opportunity is there, how can you ignore it? It's difficult, you see. So until you get a higher taste, and that's Krishna's mercy, when he releases that, when the Haladini Shakti contacts you, then how can you be indifferent from that? That's Vaidisadana Bhakti. Therefore you have to tolerate. We heard yesterday in the class, and Krishna's not given a solution, his solution is tolerate. There's no solution. Because this is how he has created the material world. It's temporary and it's full of misery. He's not going to change it for us, for anyone. That's a universal principle from time immemorial. So it doesn't change, it doesn't stop. Durga's here, as long as the universe is here. So she's presenting her two faces, attractive features and her ghastly features. She doesn't stop. So until you've got something, security and happiness, how can you be indifferent to that? Because it's fearful. If you have shelter, then you won't be fearful. If you don't have any shelter, you're fearful. If you don't have a higher pleasure, then you're bound to be attractive. You're bound to be attractive. So that's what you want. And that fearlessness and Ananda is gifted by Krishna, by his own sweet will. So you just put yourself in the... You situate yourself in a situation that he's recommended, that all those in this situation, this is where I sprinkle my mercy in this section, the people that behave like this, right? By activists. So that's your responsibility. To faithfully execute the orders of Krishna under the direction of his devotees. That's the secure place. That's what Krishna wants. So those people get his mercy. And if you don't, if you want to do it, and then you want to do it yourself, you're making your own program, go ahead. Krishna's not going to interfere with your freedom, with your choice. So the normal situation is conditioned. I am this body, I am the controller, and enjoy it. We're trying to get out of this situation. This is a conditional state. This is Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti. You're in that position. You've understood. Now you've understood you're not the controller, you're not the enjoyer. You've understood it by your intelligence, but it's still in the heart. I'm still the controller and enjoyer. The mind is still thinks it can control and enjoy. Habituated, addicted. It doesn't, can't give it up. So it's a gradual process. The more you can voluntarily give it up, then the more you go advance on the spiritual platform. The more you surrender to Krishna, the more that goes down. And as soon as you focus, then you're coming out this side. But that's Krishna's proposition is just tolerate that. Tolerate the fearful and the attractive aspects as much as possible. And just take shelter of devotional service. That's his program for getting release and attracting his mercy. So that's, and then that's bhakti, because we've understood what the supreme goal is, we've understood what our position is by this gyan, this sambandha gyan. We've understood that we're actually the eternal servants of Krishna, and we have a loving relationship, and so we're going like that. But for the yogis and the gyanis, there's no shelter actually, and there's no mercy. Because it's all their endeavor, themselves. I'm making this endeavor to achieve freedom, because generally their goal is mukti, kevala mukti, generally. The ones that are seeking the super soul is different. But generally that's their goal. So it's them, it's me against Maya, me against Durga. There's no shelter there. So they don't get Krishna's mercy because they want to do it independently. Of course they're following his instruction. So they're surrendering in one, they're following the scripture, if they're following properly, the rule, they're surrendering to Krishna because it's his instruction. But they don't actually get, if they're successful, they may achieve a state like that, but it's very rare, but they don't get Krishna's full-blown mercy. Okay, so it's normal, struggling is normal. Ten past nine for those that are hungry.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So teachings of Lord Chaitanya are only present in Kali Yuga. They are not present in Satya Yuga,
Lord Chaitanya.
Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Samhita, we have different scriptures that we are currently reading. So these are not available at the time of Satya Yoga. Can we assume like that? Like the Lord Ram's time? Because Ravana is an expert in Vedas. He knows everything about the Vedas, but he doesn't accept the supremacy of Lord Ramchandra. So in that case, like when we talk about Vedas, Ravana knows the Vedas. So can we assume that he has an understanding, like these the books that we are currently going through, scriptures, are they available at that time? And the people, not only Ravana but the Satya Yoga people, are aware of the...
No, they weren't. What yoga was it? Treta yoga, yeah. No, they were written down before. It was just oral sound. Veda means what is heard. Shruti, what is heard. When Kali began, then it was thought wise to write these things down because the people don't have that retention power. So, and the processes were different in those days. The process then was the process of Homa. They worshipped the Lord in the fire. He would appear through the fire. And before that, it was meditation. There was no need of anything practically. You just sit and meditate. So whatever at a particular, so the things they Lord events himself directly or indirectly through his scripture or things, and as a, according to the time, according to the atmosphere of the place. But the path of bhakti is always available. It's always there for those who actually want it. So he was learned. He must have been pious. Otherwise, how could he have got a position like that? and he worshipped who? Lord Shiva. He worshipped Shiva. So he was pious, but he knew the Vedas, but he was Hiranyakashipu. He was speaking transcendental knowledge, right? Kamsa was speaking transcendental knowledge to Vasudeva. They know because they're pious people, but they choose to. Their goal is not to surrender to Krishna. Their goal is to use that knowledge for their own benefit. Use this transcendental knowledge for their own benefit. Because they haven't given up the idea of being the controller and enjoyer. So they're going to the scripture to enhance their prowess to control and enjoy. That's what they're using the scripture for. They're following the rule of the scripture, that their goal is not to love Krishna, surrender to God. Their goal is to take from him the ability to be able to be a controller and enjoy. So that's a, they haven't, that's their choice.
Aribon, in Mayapur we see this is a very peaceful, calm, and ideal environment for spirituality. And we find ourselves in peace and very... maybe even comfortable sometimes, at some times. But we see that in the cities there is all this mess. This is a Kali Yuga strong and all this, and it's kind of this is the Srila Prabhupada movement. So My thought is that it's supposed that we should be preaching there or something like that. Why is it this apparent contradiction? Or why aren't we doing that?
Well, preaching. Preaching.
Yeah. Yeah, preaching or.
Oh, my! Prabhupada said, "My employees send all the women, children, old men, and those that can't preach. They should come to my employ. Those that can preach, they can be in the city. So we're in that category. If you want to preach, go to the city. And when you retire, you can come in my employ. For old people. Dharma is for retirement." The Dharma is for retirement. It means when you retire from the material world. But he said, while you're young, while you have life, then you preach. That's our specific line is preaching. Okay, last question.
Known that chanting of holy name can purify one from so many sins that one cannot even commit. But does it purify one from committing aparat?
After a long, long time. After a long, long time. There are different processes to be free from aparat. If you make a Vaishnava aparat, then you have to beg forgiveness from that Vaishnava, by any means. And even if he forgives you, you still have to try to please him in such a way that, serve him in such a way that he's actually pleased with you. Because you may forgive, but you don't forget. But you also have to get his, once again, get his favor, not only his forgiveness, you have to get his favor. So that means you have to be, should approach him in a very submissive way, wishing to serve. If they won't forgive you, if you're not forgiven, then the holy name will purify you, but it'll take a long, long time. If he's not too exalted, that person, because Krishna won't forgive. But if he's not so exalted, and you have no recourse, then you just take shelter of the holy name. But it'll take a long time to overcome that aparat. It will do it. It'll take time. Hare Krishna. You mean that when you're preaching, people will criticize? Or there must be some effect. There must be some effect, but it's Kali Yuga. Nothing is. It's a mess in Kali Yuga. You can't. You're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't. Kind of thing. You can't even follow everything strictly in Kali Yuga. So it's always like that. You have to. And Prabhupada said you take risks because Krishna says you shouldn't preach to the faithless. Still, you go out and preach to the faithless. That's a risk you take. So it's a. In Kali Yuga, you're just dependent on mercy. So it's going to be a rocky boat, whatever you do. It's going to be a rough ride, whatever you do. and you're going to make mistakes, and we're going to not be able to follow the injunctions properly. But overall, Lord Caitanya is seeing that. So at the end of the day, you'll get taken back. He'll take you back to Godhead. But in the meantime, it's bound to be tough in Kali Yuga. You can't follow all the injunctions. Impossible. But out of just that endeavor to one thing, just to preach his message and to try to get people on board, simply to endeavor to do that against all odds, then you'll evoke the mercy of the Lord. And who cares anyway? After 10,000 years, there's no hope. So you're going to tread on a few toes, but it's okay to sacrifice a person to save a family, or sacrifice a village to save a town. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.